Christian Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with my partner, Kerry Clark. And we're glad to have him back. We thank Terry Jackson for filling in last week. Kerry went to Kentucky to wish his son a good trip on his way to Afghanistan. This is the third tour, isn't it?
That he's two times to Iraq, first time to Afghanistan.
Well, and we all want to keep all of our young men and women that are protecting our country and protecting our freedoms. We want to keep them in our prayers always, and we want to thank Casey for the willingness that he shows to be a patriot of this United States of America.
Thank you.
We are going to continue with the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons we want to cover this, Kerry and I discussed it, and there are so many misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. We want to try to make this just as clear as God intended for it to be, and our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, and now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we just want to give you what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we haven't had an awful lot of calls coming in here, Kerry, but some of this is new to a lot of people. And some of this is it's a learning experience. And we want to be able to share with the listening audience the purpose of the Holy Spirit in God's great scheme of things. And so we've covered the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. We covered the Godhead, the Holy Spirit and the Godhead. We covered the inspiration of the Bible and biblical inspiration, that through the Holy Spirit. We covered blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And last week, Terry Jackson and I started the Holy Spirit and the Apostles and the work that the Holy Spirit had to do with the Apostles. And what we started out by saying was, at the beginning of Jesus' personal ministry, Jesus surrounded himself with disciples. And these disciples were students and learners. They were followers. And from this number, he would select 12 apostles. And we can go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 2, 3, and 4, and we can get those names of the 12 apostles. Now, those apostles were individuals that were specially chosen by Jesus Christ, and he did it in person, not some self-appointed man today who assumes the role and usurps that unique mission that is restricted totally and exclusively to the first century. Now, that Amen. Apostle means one who is sent. And that's just exactly what he did. He sent them on the limited commission. He sent them on the great commission, but he didn't send them unprepared.
That's right.
And the preparation that he with which he sent them is given to us in John chapter 16. Part of the preparation, it actually begins in chapter 13, goes through 14, 15, and 16. And we have selected for our passage of Scripture today, and if you have your Bibles, we would ask that you take those Bibles and turn to John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. Kerry's going to read to us in just a moment, but I want to remind everyone out there that this is a live call-in radio talk show. If you have any questions, if we're not explaining it exactly the way that you can understand it, we'll call us, and we'll use another way to explain it if we can. You can call us at 254-445-2473, or you can email us at purecountrykeqx@rocketmail.com. Kerry, would you like to read that passage of Scripture for us?
Yes. If y'all have your New Testaments, I encourage you to open to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we're going to begin our reading in verse 7. Now, friends, we want to remind you, as David just said a moment ago, Jesus is talking exclusively to the 12 apostles at this point. He's not talking to the whole world, and there's a lot of people that like to think that Jesus was talking to them in these verses, David. But one thing that you do as a student of the Bible
You always ask, who is the one that's speaking, and to whom is he speaking?
Mm-hmm.
And those are important. You know, when God commanded Noah to build an ark, we understand he was talking to Noah. We don't
right.
go out and build an ark.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand Jesus is talking to the apostles. And listen to what he says. And it's clear that he's talking to the apostles
right.
and not to us. Listen to what he says, John 16, beginning in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, David, there is absolutely no way that those verses could apply to us by reading verse 7.
No.
Jesus said,
not.
I'm going away. Nobody would say that Jesus is standing here with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it could not be, friends, that Jesus is talking to us. He was talking to his 12 apostles, and he says, I'm telling you the truth. It's necessary for me to go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Now, David, we'll see who the Comforter is
right.
in just a moment. But he says, the Comforter will come. Now, verse 8, and when he has come, he, that is the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, we'll see in just a moment. When he is come, he will reprove. Now, some versions have, he will convict, and that's a good translation of the word. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10 says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, friends, listen carefully to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, now, David, that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He's the one that reveals the truth. Of the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, David, it's clear that the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles, watch this, into all the truth, not just
right.
a part of it, all the truth. And then not only that, he's going to show them those things that are to come.
Right. And it's very important that, you know, you pointed out just a moment ago, a student of the Bible needs to understand who is speaking,
mm-hmm.
to whom he is speaking,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got to have a time frame.
That's right.
When did this happen?
That's
well,
right.
we know this happened in the first century.
That's right.
We know this happened before his crucifixion.
That's right.
And he's telling them, I've got to leave you. I'm going to have to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone.
That's right.
I'm going to leave you with the Comforter. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. You are going to have, and what he's saying, as if he were talking to me or anyone else, I'm going to put the New Testament in your head.
That's right.
And you're going to know it.
That's right.
And you're not going to have to study it. I'm going to put it there, and you're going to know everything that you ever needed to know about what is truth here, because I'm going to guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. So they didn't have the Bible as we have it. Now,
no.
we've got what they had written,
That's
but
it.
We don't have it in our head unless we put it there.
That's it.
And so now we understand the significance of what he's telling them. I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with all of the evidence, all of the words that you need so that you can lead these individuals into salvation after I am gone. And he gives them the Great Commission later on.
That's right.
And so here we have one of the reasons that that we know that he's talking to the apostles and not to just any old disciple, any follower. That these are to the 12 apostles, and this promise is being made to them. And by the way, we mentioned it last week, and after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he reminded them of that promise.
That's right.
He says, the promise is going to come unto you, and the promise is made unto you, and it's going to happen in Jerusalem. Go in Jerusalem and wait for it. And that happens in Luke chapter 24, verses 49 and following. Acts chapter 1, we find that these 12 apostles went to Jerusalem, and that is exactly what happened. That power came. When the power came, then the Holy Spirit came, and then they were guided into all truth.
Right
then. Yeah. Right then it happened. Now, this Holy Spirit baptism, it causes a lot of confusion, Carrie. And a lot of people today think that there is such a thing as being baptized into the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit baptism that they're having, that anybody can have. But this was not a command. This was a promise, and it was made only to those apostles.
Well, and you're exactly right. And David, you and I talked about it, but one of our regular listeners said that he was studying with somebody in the Bible, and he made that exact same argument that you and I have made, and he said that, you know, the Holy Spirit baptism, it's a promise, it's not a command. And this man said, oh, yes, we're commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jason said, well, where is that? And he said, John 3 and verse 5.
So, well, let's David, just turn over that.
Yeah, let's just look at John 3 and verse 5. And see if what this man said holds any water. You remember that there was a man, verse number 1, John 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into the mother, in his mother's womb, and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot be, or cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Well, David, that has absolutely nothing to say about Holy Spirit baptism.
None at all. None at all. And the reason being is because when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That Holy Spirit baptism is not, the Holy Spirit baptism of the apostles is not the commanded baptism of the Great Commission that Jesus later gives the apostles. It's a different thing. And as you pointed out, we discussed earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, you've got that passage.
Yes.
Notice, and why don't you read that, and let's just make a comparison as to what the Holy Spirit through Paul says to the church at Corinth.
Yes. Friends, if you have your New Testaments, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll begin our reading in verse 12. It says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body. Now, David, the body is the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking about the church, and there's only one church.
Right.
And he said that one church is made up of many members. He says, the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. Now, David, he is not saying that we are being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
No.
He says the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus Christ.
That's right. For by one Spirit. By the Spirit are we baptized.
By the Spirit. So it's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body.
Right.
And that's what he says. So that's not Holy Spirit baptism,
no,
friend.
And that's not the only place that it's clarified.
That's
for
right.
Us. It's clarified also when Paul the Apostle is the penman, the Holy Spirit, again, is the author to the letter that was written to the church at Colossae. And there he says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, which is the purpose of the baptism in the first place.
That's right. And not only that, David, we have Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 28, which says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew
which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Friends, this idea, and we want to challenge you again, as David did last week, and I appreciate Terry Jackson filling in for me, but friends, you cannot find where we were commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you can find that, we want you to call and do so. But friends, you find no refuge in John 3 and verse number 5, because that's not talking about Holy Spirit baptism like the apostles had, as we've just been talking about, Acts chapter 1 and other places. David.
Well, you know, we are here to try to clarify some problems and some misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the Word of God is given to us by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so this Word directs us. The Word of the Holy Spirit directs us. And we do not need to confuse the baptism, which is commanded by Jesus Christ of all Christians, and the Holy Spirit baptism that only the apostles received.
That's right.
If we keep that distinction made, we should not have a big problem.
That's right.
The big problem here is that I see, Kerry, people want to associate miracles and miracles only with that baptism of the Holy Spirit, when, by the way, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for their, so that they could preach the Word.
That's right.
The miracles just confirmed the Word that they were preaching. And we mentioned this last week, that the preaching of the Word was the main and the significant part of that Holy Spirit baptism, that they would have the Word. They just confirmed the Word with a miracle.
That's right.
And so when we keep that in mind, you won't find, and we brought this up last week, you won't find these individuals that are claiming baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that Word.
No.
They just want the miracle part. They don't want the Word part.
Yeah.
And that is a great distinction. We need to be sure that we understand, and we don't want to make this a confusing issue at all, because there is only one baptism that saves your soul, and it is the baptism of the Great Commission that Jesus Christ commanded in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16.
Well, David, and you're exactly right, and the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5 that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, friends, if there is Holy Spirit baptism still in existence today, and nobody that I know of denies the fact that Jesus commanded us to be baptized in water, and Peter would tell us in Acts 2 and verse 38 that's for the remission of sins, if both of those are in existence today, then Paul lied in Ephesians 4 and verse 5 when he said there's only one baptism.
Well, you know, we mentioned just a moment ago that a good student of the Bible figures out who is speaking, to whom he is speaking, and the time frame.
That's right.
And the time frame after this Holy Spirit baptism of the apostles, there is no other baptism except the one that is commanded by Jesus Christ. There is none.
That's right.
There is none.
Water baptism.
And the time frame will clarify that for you.
Yeah.
It will instantly clarify that for you. And so we see the role of the Comforter that we have here, as it is given to the apostles, and we're going to briefly touch on that, and then we're going to jump right into the Spirit's work among these apostles. We're going to have to take a break. We'll come back right after the break. The telephone number to call is 254-445-2473. If you have any question, you have any comments, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. See you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhide Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our service. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me Brother David Harris, and we're enjoying the program this evening. We want to encourage you to call in and participate, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, friends, we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, friends, what we're talking about and the point that we're trying to get across, the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Bible. Mm-hmm. And as we look at this, the Holy Spirit inspired about 40 men. 32 of them wrote the 39 books of the Old Testament, and about 8 men wrote the 27 books of the New Testament. And so all that we're trying to get across, friends, is that the Bible that we have is not the production of men, it is the production of God, and these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were with us before we went on the break, we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and friends, we showed. And by the way, we want to point out, next week we will be studying in depth this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to, unless somebody calls in, we're not going to go back over that, but we'll talk about it, Lord willing, next week. But friends, what we want to talk about is the Holy Spirit's work with the apostles. And friends, we've already read John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7 and going through verse 13. And in verse 13, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit, or as he calls him there, the Spirit of truth, when he came on the apostles, he would guide them into all the truth and he would show them things to come. And so, friends, as we look at this, the Holy Spirit is going to use an arsenal of evidence, which he would use to refute false doctrine, that he would use to instruct mankind and persuade mankind to be obedient to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's very important that we understand that Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them in all truth. He not only told them in chapter 16, he reminded them in chapter 15, chapter 14 of John, verse number 26. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And so again, we're talking about preaching the word,
that's
not
it.
Just the miracle. The miracles confirm the word, but they're talking about preaching the word here. And so when we put all of this together, we put the time frame together, we've got the time frame right, we've got the who is speaking, we got to whom he is speaking, we get to the Spirit's work then among these apostles, which brings us right back to what you read just a moment ago in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And there in verse number 11, 8 through 11, he says, "When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And given to these apostles, they're going to put it in action. They're going to put it in action. So first of all, Kerry, he says he's going to reprove or convict the world of sin. Now,
what
does that mean in plain old English?
Well, it simply means that he is going to expose the error of what people are doing. He's going to reveal the wrong things that they are doing. And friends, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles in this regard, would do what most religious people today would call mean, unloving, unchristian, and just flat out ugly. He's going to tell them that, friends, you're involved in sin, and if you don't repent, you're going to go straight to hell.
Wow. The Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that you bring that up, because there are a lot of folks out there who are genuinely religiously minded folks, but if you were to bring something like that up, the first thing they would say, "Well, don't you be judging me."
Yeah.
But now we understand here what he said, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin. So who's doing the judging here?
Well, it's God through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So the word which is given, the revealed word, this is what is reproving, this is what is convicting, this is what is exposing the error.
That's right.
And this is what most religious people say is mean and cruel and unloving and unchristian, and yet it is God, the Holy Spirit, that is doing it. And so who are we calling mean here?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Who are we calling mean? There's a very interesting passage that we find in Romans chapter 16. And folks, if y'all have this, have your Bible handy, turn to Romans chapter 16. We want you to see what the Holy Spirit, through Paul, has commanded the church in Rome to do. Okay, you got that passage?
Yes, Romans 16 and verse 17. Watch this, friends. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Woo, man, let me tell you. He said their God is their belly. They're not serving Jesus Christ. They're serving their own belly.
Right, they're self-serving.
They're self-serving. David, they want to get the money. And David, how many times have we seen it, and you and I have talked about it many times on the radio, these guys on the television and on the radio, and they say, "Oh, if you'll just send me your money, if you'll send in your, then I'll send you this gift, this free gift. Now, you send me money, but I'm going to give you this free gift." Over and over again, these charlatans milk people of their money. They get rich, and they drive around in Cadillacs, and they fly around in jets. Now tell me they're serving God. They're not serving God. They're serving their own belly.
And the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says to mark them.
That's right.
Now, there's a reason for their marking.
And that word kind of means to brand, David.
Yes, it does. And, you know, we mark cattle.
That's right.
So that we can understand who they belong to.
That's right.
He says you mark them so that everybody can understand they belong to Satan.
That's exactly right, friend.
You mark them and you stay away from them.
You brand a big OS on their hip.
You mark them and you stay away from them. So this is exposing error. This is revealing wrong, and this is what people call unchristian.
Yeah.
Who are you to say that I'm doing wrong. Well, it's not me that's saying it.
That's right.
It is God the Holy Spirit that is saying it, the third person of the Godhead. We covered that about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. And you know what, David, when you and I get on the radio and say that drunkenness is a sin, we're not saying that because you and I sat down and decided that we're just going to say drunkenness is a sin. We're saying that because that's what the Bible says.
That is the reproving of the Holy Spirit through the revealed word. And when you say drunkenness is a sin, we ought to be able to back it up with anything, with a scripture, with a chapter and a verse. And I believe you got one there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9.
Well, yes.
Among other people. Where were you headed? The one in
Galatians
5? I'm sorry. I had you going the wrong way. But it's not just once that it says it. It is several times that we are told that drunkenness is a sin that will condemn your soul.
Yeah. In Galatians 5, friends, in verse number 21, the Bible says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the truth, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven and be drunk.
You see, that is one of the consequences.
That's right.
And the part that we're reading right here in John chapter 16 and verse 8, where we find the purpose of the Holy Spirit, he is pointing out, convicting, reproving people of sin, and pointing out the horrible consequences if a person stays in that sin, dies in that sin, without repenting of that sin.
Yes. And remember, David, and we've talked about this already, and by the way, if y'all want to jump into this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But remember, as we just read in John chapter 16, that Jesus said in verse number 13, the Holy Spirit's not going to speak of himself.
No.
He's going to speak what I tell him to speak. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 47, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me. Now listen to this, friends. Jesus speaking, John 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And the Holy Spirit, as we read in John chapter 16, in verse number 13, he was going to guide the apostles into all the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as David read from John 14 and verse 26, he was going to remind them of everything that Jesus said. Friends, the entire Bible, but especially the New Testament, is the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to get out of our mind this thought that it's got to be written and read.
No joke.
Friends, if we really understood the inspiration of the Bible, every bit of the Bible be written and read.
Well, you know, it's convenient that we're here at the country station. That sometimes, Chris, what is the name of that song where the words in red? I can't remember the name of the country song there. Maybe we don't even play it here at the Pure Country. It's another station.
It's Brooks and Dunn.
Okay.
And the name of the song is I Believe, and he talks about, you know, the letters that are written in red.
Yeah. Well, I have heard people. Yeah. I have heard people tell me that I ought to be reading the red part.
Yeah.
Now their entire education in the Bible is Brooks and Dunn, evidently. And they're telling me what I ought to be thinking and what I ought to be saying, because it's only the stuff in red that counts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, even if you just took the stuff in red, which by the way, man put that in red.
That's
God,
right.
God never sent it down here in red. Man is the one to put it in red for you, for our convenience, if you will. Where we can readily identify what the exact words that came out of Jesus' mouth. But the fact of the matter is, what the words that he gave those apostles, those very same words have the very same convicting power.
That's right.
As does everything that is written in red.
Well, and it's because they're not speaking of themselves.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is inspiring them and giving them the words that Jesus wants.
Amen.
Friends, we've got to get this in our mind. The Bible is the very Word of God. And if we reject it, then we've rejected Jesus Christ
That's
as
right.
our Savior.
That's right.
And David, I don't mean to cut you off, but David, how much can we reject of the Bible and still be okay with Jesus?
Zero.
We can't reject any of it, friends. If you reject, when Jesus said, and we'll use this as an illustration, when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When I say baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation, I have rejected Jesus. I've rejected his word, and I'm going to be lost.
Well, the point being here, you can't just selectively say what you want to take and what you don't. Now, what if I decide, well, okay, you reject baptism if you want to, I'll just reject belief.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's my prerogative.
Yeah.
You can choose what you want. I'll choose what my, you just choose not to be baptized. I just choose not to be believed, and we'll just all go to heaven together. Friends, that's not the way the Bible is put together.
That is not
the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We have this wonderful book given to us. It's not that difficult.
No.
What's difficult is giving up our own self-serving ways. And that's what he was talking about there in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 that you read just a moment ago. They serve to feed their own bellies and they serve their own self-serving ways. When we decide to give up self and take Christ as our guide, Then we won't have a problem.
That's
here.
Right.
We won't have a problem at all. What the next thing in John chapter 16 and verse 8 that we're talking about here is that, well, we're continuing in the convicting of the sin, but we have an example where Peter convicted the audience of Acts chapter 2 with the word of the Holy Spirit, the
That's
word
right.
of God.
That's right.
When he preached that first gospel sermon, it wasn't Peter's words.
That's right.
It was the words of God through the Holy Spirit. That was a conviction to those people, and they were pricked in their heart, verse number 37 in Acts chapter 2. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They wanted to go to heaven, Kerry.
That's right.
And right then they dropped self, and they said, okay, here I am. Now just tell me what to do, and I'll do it.
And, of course, Peter responded by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority
That's
of
right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, Jesus Christ didn't actually put those words in red there.
No, it didn't.
But we had, by the authority of Jesus Christ, which every word that is given by the Holy Spirit is by the authority of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you'd like to call in and get in on this conversation, we'd welcome you. I believe we've got a phone call right now, do we, Chris? Caller, if you'll give us your name and state your question or your comment, we'd love to have it.
Hey, David, this is Zane. How you guys doing?
Good, Zane. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I wanted to talk to y'all about what you said, the Spirit's going to lead them into all truth. And I wanted you, if you would, to go into John chapter 17, verse 17, and define what is truth.
Okay. All right. We'll sure do that. Appreciate it. Appreciate
yes,
your comment. First of all, we want to back up to John chapter 14, verse 26. Now this discourse starts in chapter 13. By Jesus to the apostles, and he tells them in chapter 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then in chapter 16 and in verse number 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then in chapter 17, Kerry, when Jesus was praying to the Father, in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, he asked the Father specifically, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. Now,
Amen.
Very, very specifically, we have the only truth that exists in this world is right here.
That's right. And it's God's Word.
It's God's Word. You boil it all down, it's got to come from God's Word or it's not going to be truth.
That's right. Well, friends, we're up against another break, so we appreciate Zane calling. And if you want to join in the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Parkheist Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our service. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheistcoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with Kerry Clark, and we are looking into the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. We have covered several things. We've gone a long way here this afternoon, and we're going to try to finish it up in this last segment. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, we have the Spirit's purpose, the Holy Spirit's purpose. Jesus told His apostles, He said, when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so He's going to reprove the world of sin. We covered that just a moment ago. And now we're going to look at the other two points. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness, and He's going to reprove the world of judgment. And so when we look at this, when we look at the purpose, we can break it down and we can know exactly what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was. Now, we're looking at the point where through the apostles, the Holy Spirit would now convict the people of righteousness. Now, just exactly what does that mean, Kerry?
Well, you know, people try to struggle with this idea of righteousness and try to make it something that is almost unattainable, David, but it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness is simply doing what God said, doing right. What is right.
Doing what is right.
Doing what's right.
And before you go any further, I just want to see the other side of this. All of my life, people have used that word righteousness as a sword.
is that you righteous person, you.
Yeah.
And they use it kind of like a cuss word. And there's nothing wrong with being righteous. As a matter of fact, if we're not righteous, we can't go to heaven.
That's right.
We've got to be right according to God. Now, that is what righteous is all about. And so when we look at this, it's not some kind of a mysterious thing that the Holy Spirit pours on you. I'm going to pour you on a dose of righteousness.
No,
it's taking the Word of God, putting it in our head, and then acting upon that word. That is going to make us be right according to God. Now, yeah, we've got some scriptures that will back this up.
Yeah, friends, if you have your New Testament, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, listen to verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, friends, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And, friends, again, being righteous is doing what God said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
David, do you have Psalm 119 and verse 172?
The 119 and verse 172 says, "All thy commandments are righteousness." And that just boils it down just very, very clear, very plain. All thy commandments are righteousness. The entire passage of Scripture says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." My tongue is going to speak it because all of your commandments are righteousness. So when God tells us to do something and we do it, then we are performing the righteous acts that he expects us to perform. And so now this is one of the purposes, to come and to convict the world of righteousness. And only those who do God's will are those individuals that he says are righteous.
That's it.
And none other. You are either going to, just like he said in just a moment ago in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, he says in verse 7, if you do righteousness, you are righteous, and if you don't do righteousness, you're doing what the devil says.
That's right. And friends, listen to Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse number 34. Acts 10 in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." David, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter if you come from Mexico or from China or from Taiwan or Afghanistan. Doesn't matter where you come from.
Or Huckabee.
yeah, that's right. If you do what God says, if you work righteousness, God will accept you.
Absolutely.
What if I only have $5 in the bank?
It don't make any difference.
Well, what if I got $1 million in the bank?
It doesn't make any difference.
Oh, so if it doesn't matter where you come from, as long as you do the will of God, he'll accept you.
Absolutely.
That's the good news of the gospel.
That is absolutely the good news. And so he has come to convict and to reprove the world of righteousness. Now, it's either right or it's wrong.
And David, there's no gray in this.
No. It's
black and
white or it's wrong.
That's right.
And so he's come to this world to reprove the world of righteousness. Now, that's point number one. We got 10 minutes. Chris, don't y'all owe us some time from last week? we've got 10 minutes to cover this other point. Now, the righteousness is revealed by the Holy Spirit. The righteousness is proclaimed by these apostles, and these apostles, they are going to usher in the Lord's church. And they
That's
do
right.
this in Acts chapter 2. Now, while they do this, they're going to give the terms of admittance into the church.
That's right.
There are terms, and these terms are righteous because God gave them.
Amen.
Now, if they weren't God-given, they couldn't be righteous, but they are righteous because God gave the terms. Now, what are the terms? Well, when they were pricked in their heart because they were convicted of sin, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So the first part of that is they were convicted by sin by hearing the word of the Holy Spirit by the apostles. And then the apostles told them, here's what you got to do. Here's the terms. Here are the righteous terms of God for entrance into God's church. the church of our Lord. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is righteous.
That's it.
That's God's righteousness. Now, when man comes along and says you can get in another way, what does 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 say?
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
There you go.
They're of the devil. Friends, if you got somebody out there, whether it's your preacher or whatever you want to call him, and he tells you that you don't need to be baptized in order to go to heaven, friends, we're saying this kindly, but he's of the devil. He's doing the work of the devil. He's not doing the work of God. David, I don't understand why people fight so much against baptism.
I don't either. People stick their heels in the ground over baptism.
They do.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if y'all want to join in on the discussion, then give us a call at 445-2473.
That's area code 254 for those who listen long distance.
Yeah, if you're listening by the internet, then it's 254-445-2473.
All right, so here we've got it. We've got three purposes, three main purposes of the Holy Spirit: to convict the world of sin, to convict the world of righteousness, and then finally, hopefully we can get this covered in the last segment here, he's going to convict the world of judgment. Now, Kerry, what in the world does that mean?
Well, Jesus is going to come back, friends, and he is going to judge us, as we read in John chapter 12, in verse number 48.
Words in red, by the way.
That's right. Words in red. That Jesus, he said, if you reject me and receive not my words, the one that will judge you the final day will be the words that Jesus Christ spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So judgment is sure. It's coming just as sure as we're sitting here. And when we are judged, we are either going to be acquitted, and we're going to be found not guilty, and we're going to be ushered in into heaven, or we're going to be judged, and we're going to be found guilty of sin, and we are going to be sent to a devil's hell.
And Kerry, the one thing that a lot of people need to really understand and realize is the fact that we can repent. The word is to convict us, to make us aware of our sin, to make us aware of the error. So the word convicts us, the word turns us to righteousness, and then judgment, and because judgment is coming, we must repent. And that means to turn away from whatever it is that we're doing. It doesn't make any difference if it's drunkenness, if it's adultery, if it's whatever, fornication. It doesn't make any difference. The most despicable sin that you can come up with, if we will repent of that and turn to God in righteous obedience, then we can be forgiven of anything that has ever been sent our way.
Well, and you know, David, as we said a moment ago, that truly is the good news of the gospel, that those things that I have done in the past, that God can forgive me of those sins if I will simply submit myself to his will. And you know, David, Jesus told us that in order to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny himself. That's hard for us to do. We don't want to deny ourselves, but that's what Jesus said we've got to do, and then we do what the Holy Spirit instructs us to do. Friends, then we can go to heaven.
Right. So he's come to convict the world of judgment. Now, this is an appointment that we're all going to keep, and we've got another caller on the line right now, and if you will, caller, tell us your first name and then give us your question or your comment. We'd love to have it, please.
Okay, well, this is Jason.
Jason.
The thing that got me to thinking when y'all were talking about the three purposes of the Holy Spirit there is that is the exact same thing that Paul would later preach to Felix in Acts 24.
Absolutely.
Verse 25, he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, which lack of self-control is what leads one into sin, and the judgment to come.
Right.
That should be the focus of our preaching. We don't need the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit anymore because it's all written down in that manner. Paul had it, the apostles had it, because it wasn't written down. But if you look at that great chapter on love, as they call it, 1 Corinthians 13, what is that really dealing with? It's dealing with the passing of those gifts.
That's right.
That you know, once that which is perfect has come, which is the New Testament, then those things that are in part are done away with, And we have what we need to know about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come.
Absolutely. Good comment. Very good comment.
Yeah, Jason, I never put that Acts 24 with this, and I appreciate you bringing that out, because that's exactly what Paul was saying to Felix, exactly what he was saying. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Jason. Glad to hear you listening. So we're now dealing with this convicting the world of judgment.
Yes.
That appointment that I was talking about just a moment ago, yes, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Says, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, death is a sure thing, and just as sure as death is this judgment.
That's right.
It is an appointment, and we're never going to be late.
That's right.
We'll be right on time for this one. I'll guarantee you, nobody will be late. Nobody will have an excuse. Nobody going to say my pants don't fit. Nobody going to say my shoes hurt my feet. You can just all of the litany of excuses that you may have. They are not going to work, because this is an appointment that everybody is going to keep.
And David, I love the fact that he says that it's appointed unto men once to die.
Right.
You know, what about these people that believe in reincarnation, that we die and then we're reincarnated as a mouse, and then we're reincarnated as an elephant, and then we're when we die, we're reincarnated as a person? And what does Hebrews 9, verse 27 say about that?
Appointed unto man once to die. You know, I preached a sermon the other day and I dealt with superstition.
Yeah.
Superstition, the definition of superstition is a belief that is not based upon reason nor knowledge.
That's it.
That is superstition. So when you have a doctrine that is flying around out there that does not correspond with God's word, it's nothing more than superstition.
That's right.
And we have a lot of superstition in religion today.
Yes, we do.
We do hope that we have cleared this up. We've just got a couple of minutes left here, and sincerely, if you have any questions on this Holy Spirit, we're going to cover next week. We're going to get into the meat of this Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something that we have just touched on. But we're going to talk about the actual baptism of the Holy Spirit next week. Hopefully, we'll have more people interested in calling and finding out some things. And I want to sign off tonight by saying the same thing I sign off with every night. God bless America. Turn it over to you, Kerry.
Well, David, and I appreciate that. And I do want to, as we talked about at the very beginning of the program, encourage you to pray for our troops, those especially that are going overseas or that are going to be in harm's way. And as you know, I was gone last week. We were there to send our son off to Afghanistan. He leaves on the 20th, and keep all those guys and girls in your prayer. And as David said, God bless America, and God bless you as you study His divine word.
Amen.